Today on Real Life Radio.
When we talk about future events, the Christian ought to just get very excited because what you and I believe, listen, when somebody says, oh, you funny Christians, you guys just take this blind leap of faith into nowhere land. Excuse me, it's quite the opposite. Our faith is founded upon fact.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. You're not even going to have to pay for parking. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 1. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 17, we'll consider God's kingdom in light of Bible prophecy. You see, asking if the kingdom of God is near, it's kind of like stepping onto the holy ground of biblical prophecy. God's promises are prophetic promises, and that's why Bible prophecy is a comfort to us, and that's why Christians aren't fearful about the future. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that only the God of the Bible can tell us the future. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. God is spirit, and his kingdom is of a spiritual realm. Now, with his message called, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Is the kingdom of God near? That's the question that they were asking in Luke 17, verses 20 to 30. Look at it with me, verse 20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to his disciples, different group of people, I might add, the days, the word means times or age or years, will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. He's talking about the second coming. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. That is, when Jesus comes back, it's going to mimic the days of the times of Noah. Look at the verse 27. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28. Likewise, that is in the same manner, just like that sudden event, though there was much warning, I might add. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, verse 30, it will be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus, you know, he's close to the cross. He's closer to Jerusalem now for what will be his final earthly visit to Jerusalem before he suffers on the cross. And the Pharisees ask him a question, and Jesus uses that moment, he uses that opportunity to teach. Jesus always did that. And church, can I add something? Will you just make a mental note of this? Whatever's going on in your life and my life, we talked about that last week. Whatever's going on in our lives, you and I need to discipline ourselves to stop and think and ask, Lord, what is it you're speaking to me right now in this event? We covered that last week, especially in the light of the fires. God, what are you speaking? What are you saying? You know all about these things. What is going on? Lord, speak to me. And the Pharisees asked the question. Now, by way of introduction to this, the Pharisees had a perspective, and it was this. They were looking for the reestablishment of the kingdom of God. That is, when Israel would rule the world like it did under the reign of King David or Solomon. The Pharisees were looking for a very, very messianic period in that their government would rule the world. And that's never going to happen, by the way. It's not going to happen. Hitler tried. Other kingdoms have tried. America's not going to rule the world. I think that's pretty self-evident now, huh? Right? No government will ever rule the world. There will be attempts for governments to rule the world. They will all fail, including the Antichrist, by the way. His attempt to rule the world will fail. There is one coming who, when he returns, he comes out of heaven, by the way, and he does return. It will be his second coming, is none other than Jesus Christ. And it is the second coming. But the Pharisees were expecting their kingdom to be established now. Then there was the perspective, number two, of the Jews themselves. The Jews wanted the occupation of Rome to be thrown over or to be outcast or to be lifted. They, and I don't blame them, despised the presence of the Roman Empire. And so many of the Jews looked for a coming Messiah that would deliver them from political tyranny. But there's also a third perspective, and that is of the common man, the people. They wanted to know peace. They wanted to know freedom, justice, and love. That's why when the gospel announces in the opening throes of the New Testament that Jesus speaks and he says, "Behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach," remember, "to deliver, to set at liberty," he was announcing the very aspects of the kingdom. Was the kingdom nearer? That's what the Pharisees were asking. By the way, you cannot ask that question without stepping right in or onto holy ground. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" If you and I today, by the way, everybody mocks the Bible. Everybody makes fun of the Bible until there's some big cataclysmic event, and then everybody turns to the Bible. Everybody went, "Well, what does the Bible have to say?" And you mark my words, it's coming up again. There's going to be a war soon in the Middle East. It's going to be with Israel and its neighbors. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big deal. You're going to wake up some morning and it's going to be underway. All of the channels, including godless CNN, will have people like Joel Rosenberg or Mark Hitchcock on TV, and they're going to be saying, asking, "Is this the end of the world? Is this the Battle of Armageddon?" Trust me, it happens every time. They don't believe in the Bible until something serious happens. Then they all run to the Bible. I like that. I do. Why? Because people automatically assume, what does the Bible have to say about that? And it's for good reason. 27% of the Bible, 27% of your Bible, more than a quarter of your Bible, is dealing with future events. 82% of that 27% have already been fulfilled in history. That's an amazing thing. And what remains predominantly are prophecies regarding the great tribulation period to come. Jesus is speaking about a time of tribulation and difficulty that people are to know about. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." What does that mean? That your Bible is the newspaper of tomorrow. You say, "Pastor Jack, I don't like Bible prophecy. It scares me." Number one, that's really strange that it should scare you, because God gave it and said, "I've given it to you that it might comfort you." Why are you scared if you hear about, when God says this is what's going to happen in the future, why do you get nervous about that? The Christian goes, "Yeah, bring it on." I mean, Jesus said, and we'll hear about it more in a moment, that when you see these things begin to happen, look up, he said, "Your redemption draws near." Get excited about it. I said, "Jack, you realize what's going on in the world? Everything's going crazy, General Motors and the housing industry and the global economy." Jesus said, "Look up. Your redemption draws near." "Well, what if he doesn't come before my house is repossessed?" Look up. Jesus said, "In this world, we're going to have difficulty." By the way, personally, we were on the phone this week to someone who's having troubles far in a distant state. Big troubles. So what are you calling us for? "Because we don't know anybody else." So wait a minute, do you go to church in your town? "No." "Well, why don't you go to church in your town? You need to go to a church." Answer, "There's no churches to our liking." Let me tell you something. I'm not even sure if Jesus likes the church much. I mean, it's always hurting his feelings. It's always disobeying him. It's messing things up. I mean, as much as we try, we goof up. But he loves us. And if you're trying to find a perfect church, it's just not going to happen. But go to a church. Why are you saying that? Because times will come when you and I will need one another's love, care, support. Oh, believe me, it's coming. Get to church. Hey, if you're listening right now, wherever you live, get to church.
Well, I don't like that church that's near my house.
Find a church that teaches the Bible and get into it and go for it. If you don't like it, then change the church. Be like Jesus. That'll change the church. Be like Jesus. Start to influence people. John 13, 19 says, as I spoke a moment ago, Jesus said, now I tell you before it comes to pass. Listen, John 13, 19, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I, listen, you may believe that I am. He said that you may believe ego and me. This is an amazing statement. Jesus said, I'm telling you in advance before it happens so that when it does happen, you will turn to me and know ego and me. Say, what are you saying? I am that I am. Does that ring a bell? Jesus Christ, the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, God's prophets speak the future. The promise of our salvation. That is a prophetic announcement. God's promises are prophetic. And that's why the Bible and Bible prophecies to bring comfort. And Jesus is going to be speaking comfort to his believers and to those that are in the audience. It's an amazing thing to realize, church. I'm so excited to announce this. I get every chance I get, I want to say this. That when we talk about future events, the Christian ought to just get very excited because what you and I believe, listen, when somebody says, oh, you funny Christians, you guys just take this blind leap of faith into nowhere land. Excuse me, it's quite the opposite. Our faith is founded upon fact. The more you study the Bible, the more you're impressed with what God has said and what God has done. And based upon what he's done, because he said it, he's going to do everything he has said regarding the future. That's our God. He cannot lie. It's amazing and it is awesome. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, do not forget these former things, he says, throughout history, for I am God, I alone am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you what is going to happen before it happens. Everything I've planned to come to pass will do so, and I will do whatever I please. Signed, the Lord. I love that. Listen, Buddha never prophesied about the future. Muhammad never prophesied about the future. There are people who prophesy, but their prophecies are wrong. The Bible is 100% accurate in its prophecies. And that should cause us to sit up and take close attention to what Jesus is saying.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
First point, is the kingdom of God near? I say yes, my friend, and here's one of the reasons why. Verses 20 to 21, note it, it's the kingdom in conflict. It's the kingdom in conflict. Is the kingdom of God near? Well, first of all, yes, I believe it is because it is a kingdom, the kingdom in conflict. How so? God's kingdom is of a spiritual realm. God's kingdom is of a spiritual realm. Verse 20, and when he was asked by the Pharisees, they said this, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Jesus is saying that it's not going to show up on an airplane and land with a motorcade and look out the window and wave with flags and banners. It's a band is not going to strike up as a leader comes out and says, God bless America. Jesus says it's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen with even trying to place him on a donkey or a horse and say, here's the kingdom. He said, no, it's not going to happen that way. That's not what he's talking about. He says it does not come with observation. We'll explain that in a moment. He's telling the listeners that the kingdom of God is a spiritual or has a spiritual aspect to it. You need to understand that. You say, well, Jack, isn't the kingdom of God going to be a literal physical kingdom? Yes, it will be. But it first begins in a spiritual sense. Understand this, John 4:24. Jesus says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you guys know that? I know you know that. I'm just saying. Did you know that God's not a human? It was a big deal for him to become a human. Understand that. God is not a really old man with a lot of time, and he's been around a long time, a lot of experience. That's not God. God is spirit. You want to talk about a miracle? The greatest miracle that has ever been or ever will be is that God allowed himself to be contained in human skin for 33 and a quarter years. His name's Jesus Christ. God revealed himself to mankind, and he put on a human suit and lived among us to reveal the very heart, love, devotion that God has for his creation that's gone bad, that's gone wild, and left him in sin. In the Old Testament, by the way, King David desired to bless God, the God of heaven, by building God a house. You've all read that. David said, God, I want to build you a house. And 1 Chronicles 17:4 says, God speaks, go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, listen, church, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel even to this day, but I have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to the other. This is God speaking, 1 Chronicles 17:6. Wherever I have moved about with all of Israel, Have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I've commanded to shepherd my people saying, why have you not built me a house of cedars? Has God ever said, can you guys build me a house so I can have a place to hang out in? He doesn't need a house. This building's for us right here, right now. God doesn't need this building. Jesus did most of his teaching either near a boat or on a seashore, on a hillside. God doesn't need a building. His kingdom is of a spiritual realm. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, the Bible says, for our gospel, if it's veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That is, there are people who cannot hear or understand the word of God. Why is that the case? Whose minds the God of this age have blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine forth to them. It's a spiritual realm. God does not dwell in houses made with human hands. When Paul warned the church at Corinth that there are those who can see what God is doing and those who cannot see, why is that so valuable to us? Because it is of a spiritual nature. To those who don't understand the gospel, it's not that they're uneducated. It's not that they're somehow deficient. The Bible warns us that another spiritual power that's in conflict with the kingdom of God is fighting against them. The Bible warns us over and over again that you and I are fighting against demonic powers in this age. We're not fighting against nuclear weapons. Those are little things compared to what the spiritual realm is all about. In your own life and in my life, those of us who are Christians, why are things the way that they are? What's going on? Look to God and the spiritual understanding. Because you're a Christian, there's this conflict of your life in this world, and that's going to happen. There's a spiritual conflict. I'll just give you the reference and paraphrase it. You can look at it later. 1 John 4, verses 1 to 3, warns us that in the last days, don't believe every spirit, every message you hear. Don't believe it. Judge it according to the Bible. Well, did you hear this guy on TV? Did you hear this guy on radio? My friend was sharing with me, or we met this guy who said, hey, pull out your Bible and judge what they're saying about spiritual matters. You'll never fall for the cult that knocks on your door if you know your Bible. You won't get tripped up if you understand that. That there's spiritual realms and kingdoms warring. And God's kingdom is of a spiritual realm. Second thing under this point is this. It's the kingdom in conflict on a personal nature. Verse 21 says, nor will they say here or there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Now you ought to mark that down. Scholars argue back and forth about what this means, and some of your newer translations have maybe put it this way, that indeed the kingdom of God is near you or among you or before you, in front of you, about you. When the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus is not saying that these unbelieving Pharisees had the kingdom of God in them. They didn't believe in him. By the way, Jesus Christ standing there, he was the president, the monarch, the king of that kingdom. And by the way, his apostles were his cabinet, so to speak. The kingdom was there. Wherever Jesus is, my friend, the kingdom is there. Keep that in mind. Very important. So when he said that the kingdom of God is within you, the word can also be translated. And this is where the Greek scholars argue back and forth. Does it mean that the kingdom of God dwells within everybody? I think that's a no. But does Jesus mean that the kingdom of God is standing before you? You can reach out and you can touch it. It's within, listen, it's within your reach to grab the kingdom of God. And I'm wondering if that's true for your life right now this morning. Are you going to heaven? Do you know Christ? You say, I don't know. Then reach out and grab the kingdom. The kingdom is near you this morning. Regarding unbelief, by the way, listen to this. Very important. In Luke 10, verse 11, Jesus said, when you go into a city that does not receive the gospel, will not listen to the good news, that the kingdom of God has come near to them. What did he say? Take your shoes and do what? Knock the dust off of that city from your shoes. Because unless that city repents, they're doomed for judgment. Why? They weren't open. He says there, the kingdom of God has come near them, within the reach of salvation. The Lord had promised this personal experience, this relationship way back in the Old Testament, that when the kingdom of God comes near, you could reach out and grab it. You can have it. You can know today that you're going to go to heaven. It's so sad today. The church is so weak because so few believers enjoy and revel in the fact that they understand that they're going to go to heaven. Do you realize that if you believe the promises of God, just this, we don't even need second service and third service. Don't tell them that, but we won't need them. You want to know why? We will leave this place radicalized. Radicalized? That's a scary word, Jack. Uh-huh, I know. Because you hear like radicalized Islam is terrorism. You know what I'd love to see? Radicalized Christians. What does that look like? I don't know if you say that too loud. Oh yeah, radicalized Christians. Why? Because if we obey Jesus to the law, to the letter, we're going to go out and love people like we have never loved before. We are going to stand for the truth. We are going to be on fire, as we say, for Christ. Radicalized Christians should be normal Christianity today. I'm going to go pray. Good. That's what we should normally be doing. Husbands, I'm going to go pray with my wife. You should have been doing that all along anyway. That's normal. You know what? I had a radical thought. I'm going to go pray for my kids. That's normal. What's radicalized is going beyond the norm. And the world needs the love of God today. Boy, I tell you, the world is upset and angry today. But the Bible says that the kingdom of God can come near to them. Is the kingdom of God near you? In the Old Testament, God spoke of this prophetically. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and I will put my spirit in you. I will take the heart of stone, which is in you, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you'll do them. You can never obey God. My friend, listen, you'll never be able to follow Jesus Christ. It's impossible unless the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and then you will. You can't do it. In fact, if you try without the Holy Spirit, if you try to be religious without being saved, you become a legalist, a self-righteous Pharisee, legalist. You have no power to do what you know is right, but you can't do it. John 20, I love this. John 20, 21. Jesus said to them, by the way, this is after his resurrection, but before his ascension to heaven, Jesus said to the apostles, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 1. Thanks for being with us today, and you know this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, you guys, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you because I know I'm like you. You're like me. Are you weary? Do you get wearied? Do you get tired? Does it feel at times that the wind has been knocked out of you?
I think if we're all honest, we can admit that, man, yeah, being a Christian is not easy in this world. But I want to give you some encouragement by virtue of the fact that Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a great author, a great pastor who's now in heaven, wrote a book called In Praise of Plodders. In Praise of Plodders. A plodder is somebody who just keeps going. And if you feel so worn down, maybe even apathetic, then you need this book. He will walk you through those seasons. Things just don't seem to be coming together. In Praise of Plodders, this current featured book, please get a copy of it today.
In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe. You can pick it up for a gift to the ministry of any amount by going to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.